Blog Talk Radio.
Why is the world in the state that it is in? Do you need certainty about things in your life? Your health, your love, your marriage, maybe your diet or politics? Join us here at 5:30 Mountain Time on FreedomizerRadio.com as we give you all the answers, and we will expound upon subjects that we know everything about, and you will learn how to laugh, love, and live.
What is wrong with you? Have you been reading Hallmark cards or hanging around at Bed Bath & Beyond?
What? It's an ad, okay? Ads don't have to be truthful, all right?
Why do you think you have all the answers?
Well, I don't, okay? I just say that I do. That way people think that you're smarter than you really are.
And that's gonna make people want to listen to you more? What if they find out you're a dum-dum?
You're a dum-dum.
Join us here Monday evenings at 5:30 Mountain Standard Time as we search for answers together on Mental Acumen Radio with Donald and Christy Rose on FreedomizerRadio.com.
You hurt my feelings, dum-dum.
The following message is sponsored by Truth. Are you or someone you know suffering from sheepalism? Sheepalism is a debilitating disorder which affects a person's entire worldview and is characterized by ignorance, denial, abandonment of basic morals and values. An unwillingness to think critically about things read or heard by mainstream media is a strong sign that you have been affected. Fortunately, sheepalism is treatable in many cases. Treatment may include, but is not limited to, training to help the patient understand that truth is being intentionally withheld. Help in understanding that assumptions and speculations do not qualify as evidence for truth. Living with sheepalism is frustrating. Thankfully, there's hope for those suffering this debilitating condition. If you or someone you know is dealing with sheepalism, please contact your local Truth Movement for treatment. They're standing by to help you now, and remember, you're not alone. Side effects of treatment may or may not include shortness of breath, migraines, anaphylactic shock, and a worst scenario heart attack. See your support specialist for details.
Just as ungrounded signals wreak havoc on radio communications, there's growing concern that because we are not grounded, we absorb tremendous amounts of electromagnetic radiation from our modern devices. EMF stands for electromagnetic field.
We are all immersed in electromagnetic fields from Wi-Fi, from the wiring in our homes, and it disturbs our electrical balance. We get charged. Inside of our bodies, we get electrically charged. Some people have as much as 20 volts on their bodies, and that's not good for you.
If you use online discount codes to get the latest and greatest deals, we want to tell you about Giving Assistant. Giving Assistant not only gives you the latest promo codes for online savings, it also donates a percent of your purchase to a charity you choose. Please go to givingassistant.org and designate Barefoot is Legal as your preferred 501c3 nonprofit. Then, the next time you shop at thousands of online retailers, a part of your purchase is donated by the company to Barefoot is Legal. Please help fund our mission at zero cost to you. Let the companies help pay for what we do. Go to givingassistant.org and add Barefoot is Legal as your charity. Then, when you shop online, you get savings and the company gives us a small donation. Sign up today and get a freebie for helping out. Thank you for your support.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ritter. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us. Today is Tuesday. Dahl Arntzen is off today, so we'll have Lorianne joining us. And we might have Bridget joining us as well. Joining us as a guest tonight in about an hour, we will have comedian Dan Ellison joining us again. And if you want to be a part of the show, the number here is 319-527-6208. And just press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I'll make it a point to take your call. All right, so with that in mind, let's go ahead and bring Lorianne in here. Welcome in.
Hello, hello. How are you today?
Well, thank you for joining us here. What have you been working on over the past week?
Not a whole lot, really. Just my usual stuff and filling up my own Facebook page with all kinds of political posts and trying to stay cool because we're into our own stretch of hot weather here, too. So, and I know you've been sweating where you're at as well. So other than that, doing pretty good. My dog is happy. I gave her a raw bison hawk bone last night, and she spent about 2.5 hours on it till she finally tuckered herself out. And, you know, they come frozen, and so I just thaw it out and give it to her raw, and
okay.
She loves it. And
yeah, we're a big buffalo family here.
Oh, good. Me too. I love bison. You know, I think I have more bison now than I do regular ground beef, and it's good stuff. Bison steaks, ground bison for burgers, and then I'll get stuff for my dog Nikita. I'll get like bison liver and bison heart and, you know, hawk bone, collagen bones, all that kind of stuff. So it's healthy for her. It's healthy for us. And, you know, where I buy it from, too, it's Wild Idea Buffalo. They're in South Dakota, and they're a bit different than a lot of other places that you might get your bison from because the bison is 100% prairie-raised. They are never injected with hormones or antibiotics or supplemented in any way, so they're 100% fed by grazing out in the prairie like they, you know, have done for thousands of years. And the place also does a humane slaughter. They actually have a video on their website that outlines how they do their humane slaughter. So they do it all on site with no stress to the animal. So you're not getting the stress hormones like you do with, you know, a lot of bison. Sure, they're raised that way, but then they're just shipped off to slaughterhouses, and they're subjected to the same high-stress environment that cows are. And so you're getting those stress hormones in your meat with a lot of other places. In this place, it's humane. They literally go out with a truck with a high-powered rifle, and one shot, the animal goes down. The rest of the herd, it barely blinks an eye. They're like, huh, what, you know, and that's it. I mean, and then they pull up a semi-truck where they do the initial butchering in a cooled semi-truck right there in the field. And then they'll haul it for final processing to their plant. So, you know, it really is a great company. Again, it's Wild Idea Buffalo Company. I totally support them. I've been purchasing my bison stuff from them for at least 3 years now, I think. And so just I really like the way they do things. You know, so it might be a little more expensive, but it's one of those cases where, you know, you get what you pay for, right? And so I really encourage people to try it. And, you know, I think the meat is so much more flavorful. It's so much more lean. It's higher in antioxidants than, you know, antioxidants is high in omega-3 fatty acids more than fish. You know, so if you're concerned about, you know, fish and the pollution in fish, but you want those omega-3s, then bison is a good alternative for you. It's also very low in cholesterol, so if you're trying to lower your cholesterol, it has less cholesterol than chicken or poultry. So, you know, it really is an all-around wonderful food. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, natives, you know, hunted buffalo. Is there so much that you can do with it, and it's, you know, a little one animal that goes a long way, and very little goes to waste with this company, so that's why I support them.
So talk to me about the prices there. I realize it's not cheap, but how much is a pound of ground buffalo, and if I want any bones for the pets, how expensive is it?
Usually they got like packages, so you can get like ground packages, and that way it's cheaper and you get free shipping. The big, large hawk bones, those are for, you know, perfect for really large dogs that, you know, normally they'll just chew up something and they're done in 15 minutes. But, you know, for large dogs, the hawk bones are great. They're $9.95. Which, if you ever go even to PetSmart and get, you know, one of those dried, packaged, large bones, you know, beef bones, they're usually at least that much anyway. So, you know, $9.95 for this nice big hawk bone that keeps your dog busy, and it's raw, so you don't have to worry about the bone being so brittle because it's not dry. It's, you know, you thaw it out and you give it to them raw, and it has, like, all the, like, skin-like kind of membrane around it, and then of course a lot of bone marrow and stuff. And so it's really, you know, for $9.95, it's great. I think a lot of times, you know, I got in on a special where the bison was on sale, the ground bison, anyways, for burgers, and that was at about $10 a pound. And you know, but they have steaks of all kinds. There's some really great cuts of steak that aren't as expensive as like your ribeye, but are almost just as good. Like they have like a tray major fillet, they have a hanging steak that's a little less expensive. So you can definitely check out their website, you know, Wild Idea Buffalo Company. And if you order one of their packages, you get free shipping, or if you order $250 or more, then you also get free shipping. And they ship it. Another really cool thing about how they ship their stuff is, you know, they'll FedEx it 2-day air, right? And they'll make sure that they like to ship it in the early part of the week so that it doesn't, like, sit there on your front porch over the weekend if you're out of town or something. So when you get it, they pack it with dry ice, but they also use this foam as an insulator, and it's a biodegradable foam. All you got to do is add water, and it'll just dissolve. So you're not, you know, using styrofoam or something that's going to pollute the environment. This is a biodegradable foam that's insulating, and it just rinse it with water, and it'll just disintegrate. So there's no waste, and that's really... really kind of cool the way they package it. I think more places should do that. You know, it would be a lot less unrecycled, you know, because as most people know, you can't recycle styrofoam. So it's just big, bulky crap that, you know, fills up our landfills. And
you could repurpose styrofoam.
They're a really cool thing. Huh?
You could repurpose a styrofoam.
Yeah, you can repurpose it, but you can't recycle it.
I plant potatoes in them.
Oh, yeah, there you go. But aren't you concerned about the plastics, though, like when it's hot and the plastics breaking down and like, losing their way into the soil? That's my concern about it, is because I just kind of think that the styrofoam breaks down, you know, in the heat.
If it's in the ground, then it's going to be cooler than sitting outside anyway.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah,
I use it here because the ground, it's hard caliche that once the roots hit it, the thing dies. So I am using that as an alternative to the actual ground.
Okay, cool. Very cool. That works too. Yeah, if you can't recycle it, try to repurpose it and find other uses for it. That's Yeah, I'm a big recycle fan. You know, I'm here in Oregon, which I know is, you know, that's one positive thing about Oregon being, you know, most of Oregon being liberal is we're pretty big on recycling. And I'm a, you know, big supporter of that. I try to recycle anything I can. And, but, you know, some of it is just so crazy. Like, it wasn't until a couple of years ago that I realized that, you know, when Trump started instituting tariffs and stuff like that with China, I didn't realize that, like, that China handles most of our recyclables and processes them. And so with that came all these restrictions on what you can and can't recycle. And so they could, we can no longer recycle egg cartons, which is so stupid. They're not paying people to go through it. So, like, literally, if you have a plastic jug and you don't take the lid off of it, it goes in the garbage because they're not paying people to remove the lid. It's ridiculous, you know. So you're trying to do the right thing, but then because of all these restrictions and because we're dependent on China to handle our recycling, then here we are. It's a wasted effort. I mean, the last I read, like 50% of Oregon's recycling, Oregon alone, half of it, what people put in the recycle bins gets tossed for stupid reasons like that, you know, because a lid wasn't taken off. It's so dumb. And, you know, I'm like, you know, we need to, you know, be independent with that. Like, why can't we process our own recyclables? Why can't we have manufacturing plants here that take those recyclables and make them into other products here? Why do we have to depend on any other country, not just China, anywhere else, to do that for us? It doesn't make any sense. You know, and then the only sense it makes is financial because, you know, in China, you know, the weight, they're, the people processing it, the people doing this stuff, I mean, they're child laborers. They're, you know, pennies on the dollar compared to paying somebody $10 an hour, you know, here in the States to do the same thing. So it's actually cheaper to ship all of it across the ocean to be processed than it is just to do it here. And that needs to change. I think it wouldn't be such a... I think the investment would be initially expensive, but I think every state should have their own recycling processing, and every state handle their own stuff. And then those recycling plants can sell that stuff to manufacturing companies and handle it all internally. And, you know, and... It's one of those things that really makes me mad because, you know, how much are we paying for our recyclables to be picked up, right? So we're paying for this service, and yet half of the stuff that we're doing is being tossed because of that. And so a lot of people don't, like me, are completely unaware up until, you know, Trump started confronting China and China started retaliating by refusing to take on our recyclables.
So I don't know if you noticed this or not. Speaking of meats, and I meant to bring this up yesterday, but our Monday co-host, Kartika, sometimes she has Skype issues, and she's also a vegan, so I wouldn't be able to ask her about this. But have you seen any of the videos of people that have magnets sticking to their meat packages?
I did just come across something in my Facebook feed about that, about magnets being in the meat. I didn't really check it out, though, as I was looking at other stuff, too, but I did see something about that, and that's weird. I don't know why they would do that.
Yeah, so my wife is a teacher, and she has magnets in her classroom, so when she gets home, she'll give me a magnet or two from her classroom, and I'll do some grocery shopping at some point over the next few days and see if I can recreate it.
So what's the deal with it, though? You know, I'm sure that you've seen it. So what's the story behind the magnets in the meat?
Well, maybe the animals have been vaccinated with COVID. Because if you
Why
saw
would they
the
sell meat
people,
and...
that got, people that got COVID vaccines, a lot of them are finding that they whatever's inside the vaccine helps them become a human magnet. So you can literally walk down the street with forks sticking to you, other metals they're sticking to you. And so part of this is the meat's doing the same thing.
That is really weird. I'm going to look that up. Magnets and meat.
Yeah, I tried to find a video to play, but it's just a visual, and it's hard for radio, so it didn't make any sense to upload a clip.
Let's see. So I'm looking. Of course, there's a fact check that says misleading claims about magnetism spread to meat and poultry. So they already have a fact check up on it.
Somebody's at a grocery store picking up random packages, and people duplicate it in many other cities with no games. Then I'm not going to say it's false.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't really believe the fact checkers anyways. I mean, if they're anything like Facebook fact checkers, then it's
exactly.
All, you know, a lot of it's lies.
Yeah, they're the
you know,
same
of course,
exact
fact they'll
checkers.
They'll fact check and say something's debunked, and then, you know, a couple months later, it'll turn out to be totally true.
Yeah, I don't trust fake news, so that's not anything that I follow. So
yeah, it says
if
magnets might stick
it,
to
it's
meat.
Not gonna say it's false.
Magnets might stick to meat and poultry due to the texture, angle, or moisture of the product. That's what's coming from the USDA.
Okay, then they would have to explain why magnets are sticking to meat outside of the wrapper. So you take the wrapper off and the magnet sticks to it anyway. And then you'll have to also try to debunk how people are walking around with spoons physically sticking to them.
Yeah, that's pretty odd. Although, wasn't that used to be a magic trick? Magicians making, you know, spoons and metal utensils stick to them.
Well, that I can't tell you.
I actually saw, like, just scrolling my Facebook feed of pictures, like, there's so, like, apparently there's some kind of fashion trend where it's just all these, you know, spoons and forks and stuff are, like, embedded into the material of the clothes, and it's kind of, and, like, the clothing material is like, you know, neutral color, skin tone color, so it looks like you're basically walking around with all these knives and forks and stuff sticking to you. I'm like, why would you ever want to do that? But okay. What some people call fashion just cracks me up.
I don't think this is a fashion statement.
No, this isn't a fashion. The magnet sticking to meat, that's kind of interesting. It also says that, you know, meat has iron in it, and that could be an explanation of it. But then, you know, it's like before and after, it's like, okay, then why hasn't this been something brought to our attention long ago before COVID ever came along? You know what I mean? Like, how? Why would this all of a sudden be a thing? Unless there might be something behind it. Like, and we don't know. We don't know what's in those vaccines. You know, anything could be in those vaccines.
Right.
Including, who knows, you know, they can make chips that'll go through, you know, a syringe So, you know, that's not a conspiracy theory anymore. It's been done.
Sorry, I was trying to find a clip that I could play on here, but it's not going to work.
I mean, imagine that, like, combined with, you know, and I'm trying to find that article again that I sent you about that, like, that mesh that's, like, got, you know, artificial intelligence and stuff on it. Mesh. I know I sent it to you, I think, last week. I was like, okay, this is scary. Mesh. I'm going to try to just think of what it says. AI. Where is that article? I would have to scroll quite a bit because it was last week. And I can't remember. I know I remember sending it to you, though. And then I remember sending you a link, like, if that was combined with an article that I think I also sent you, scientists connect human brain to computer wirelessly for the first time ever. The first wireless commands to a computer have been demonstrated in a breakthrough for people with paralysis. The system is able to transmit brain signals at single neuron resolution and in full broadband fidelity, says researchers at Brown University in the U.S. So, you know, great for paralysis treatment, so I can see why they might be doing it, but imagine what you can do with something like that. That's pretty crazy. You know, it might not be used for paralysis. What else could that kind of technology be used for?
Well, that I don't have an answer for.
Let's see. The two participants of the latest trial, aged 35 and 63, are paralyzed through spinal cord injuries. They are able to use the wireless system continuously for up to 24 hours while at home rather than in the library. The relative ease of use meant train carriers were able to establish the wireless connections, meaning the study could continue while the pandemic ruled out visits to the participants' homes. With this system, we're trying to look at brain activity at home over long periods in a way that was nearly impossible before. So it'll help them design decoding algorithms that provide for the seamless, intuitive, reliable restoration of communication and mobility for people with paralysis. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. And then this is in combination with, like, that Neuralink that Elon Musk developing, you know, connecting the brain. I mean, it's just, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, technology in and of itself can be good or it can be evil, just like so many other things. It depends on the intent. So in some ways, technology can be really great and be helpful for a lot of people. And then in a lot of ways, it can be not your friend, and it can be used against us. And these are one of those situations where, for the right reasons, it's wonderful. But in the hands with the wrong people with the wrong intent, like, you know, governments, intelligence agencies, things like that, then you got to kind of question what those will be used for. I mean, I honestly would be pretty reluctant to have, like, some computer connecting to my brain and with an artificial intelligence that's programmed for who knows what, And, you know, that would concern me. Like, what's going on that I don't know about? How do I control that? How do I shut it off? You know, if you're injected with something that turns that on, you know, then who knows? And it could be injected via vaccine. It could be injected any number of ways. You know, if you go in for surgery for something, who knows? You know, that stuff could be put in you that you don't really understand the bad side of it, you know. So that's kind of crazy stuff.
Yeah, well, I have 0% interest in getting Neuralink, just the exact same amount of interest that I have in getting a mark on my wrist as well.
Same here. I'm not interested in the chips. I'm not interested in even that bracelet that is that you a link on, that COVID bracelet?
Yeah, I know that, all about those. Yeah, a few states are trying that. And then others might, after this Delta variant that they're trying to blame India on, they expect that to come to the U.S. and be the worst variant ever. So Dr. Fraudy is out there again trying to pimp masks all over again. And the vaccinations.
I think I read Delta variant in the U.S. I think I read it's already here, and it's
yeah.
I read
so
somewhere that it contributed to certain.
So this the vaccine that they're pimping out now doesn't protect anything around this quote unquote Delta variant, but they still want you to get it so that you don't get COVID somehow.
Yeah, and they're trying to say that, you know, the vaccine is effective against it. But if you got sick with COVID, so now they're trying to convince you that they're saying that, you know, if you got sick with COVID and you got over it, you might not be protected still. You still need to get the vaccine to protect yourself against this Delta variant now.
Right,
and
even though the vaccine came out before the variant, it'll still protect against it somehow, even though it has never met the variant before.
Yeah, the CDC says the Delta variant is 10% of the U.S. COVID-19 cases as of 6 days ago.
Right. And I also have oceanfront property in Kansas.
Exactly. You know, and I'm just not convinced. It's like, you know, you're trying to tell me that this fake vaccine that is centered on the spike protein, right? So just the spike protein. And that's somehow more effective than actually contracting it and getting sick from it and your immune system fighting it and getting over it. When you're exposed to the real thing, then it isn't just the spike proteins your body learns, it's all the other proteins that are on the surface of it, right? So, you know, so it's like how is the vaccine better then? Like, it's kind of like how, you know, your body doesn't identify it just by the spike protein. Your body will identify it. It's like trying to recognize somebody where their face and their hair and everything is obscured and all you can see is their eyes, and trying to convince people that that's a better way of recognition than seeing somebody without the mask on with their hair down, you know, and seeing how tall they are and seeing, you know, recognizing them for all the different ways that there are to recognize somebody other than just looking at their eyes. You can barely tell who a person is just looking at their eyes alone. You know, and so it's like trying to convince everybody that somehow, you know, that's better, you know, that your body is recognizing just that spike protein is more effective than the body actually contracting it and recognizing a pathogen based on all of it. The whole thing, the whole picture. I don't believe that for a minute.
Yeah, I believe none of that stuff also, but they have to find a way to keep the boogeyman alive.
Oh, of course. Otherwise, they have to come up with a new boogeyman. Which is Delta variant is a new boogeyman.
Well, they're trying. They're trying to make every person who is not a raging radical leftist a boogeyman.
Well, I guess I got to up my skills and research how to be a better boogeyman or boogie woman.
You mean a boogie birther?
Yeah. We got to be, we can't be gender specific, so yeah. A boogie non-birther and a boogie birther. Fear, fear, fear. And more fear. And then...
Well, they're still trying to push this January 6th thing like it's the biggest thing that's ever happened.
Oh, I know it. I know it. And of
Just
course
like
they're
when
dismissing...
Creepy Joe, when Creepy Joe last month said that George Floyd's death meant more to America than Martin Luther King passing. George Floyd has done more for Black America than Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and Jackie Robinson all put together.
You know, I'm sorry if I was a Black American right now, that would infuriate me. I mean, Martin Luther King did, you know, he's one of those, you know, one of the icons of the movement of equality, and George Floyd was not. I mean, you know, he was a criminal. He was a drug addict. Why are we idolizing this guy?
You're forgetting something, Lori. You're definitely forgetting something. I don't know if you know what you're forgetting.
Which is?
Martin Luther King was a registered Republican. Therefore, his viewpoints don't count.
Oh, yes, of course. Just forget about it. George Floyd is the latest and greatest spokesperson for equality. Rolling
right,
my eyeballs.
Because he was not a registered Republican ever. And now, when it comes to white supremacists, and it's on record, it's on paper, it's on critical race theory, that part of being a white supremacist is, and it doesn't matter what color you are a white supremacist if you believe in Make America Great Again or you want the election challenged.
Of course. If you demand accountability for anything, then you're a raging white supremacist domestic threat. You know, and you can't be either way anymore, and that's the problem. It's you know, people are so pluralized right now. People can't, you know, very few of us can bridge that gap between the far left and the far right, and seeing what the truth really is, or at least trying to find out. You know, if you're in the middle, then you're a threat. If you're somebody that criticizes, you know, I've been that way for so long. I mean, you know, I instantly criticize stuff all the time. You know, everything that I read, everything the government does, especially, I question what's the real reason. You know, for every law that they put on the books, you know, for every law that they, every legislation that's up for a vote, I've definitely learned to question what's the true motivation behind it. Because they always want to put a pretty, you know, face on it. You know, they want to put some feel-good, you know, name to the legislation. And then they don't really go into the details of what that legislation really does. You know, a lot of the media will highlight what they think are the positives and completely ignore the negatives, or completely not think ahead and go, okay, what might the unforeseen ramifications of this be? Or how could this law be abused? And people don't think that far ahead. They just cheer for it because it has a good name and CNN says it's a good thing.
Right.
That's the mentality.
And now you have the CNN watchers where most of the radicals strongly believe that unless you're a Democrat, you need to be put in a re-education camp. And remember when John Brennan, when creepy quid pro quo pedo Joe got sworn in 6 months ago, that the first thing that went on air was that we have to round up people that don't support our current president, meaning creepy Joe, and round them up and put them in re-education camps. And a lot of the talking head liberals are very much advocating this. They're not
now
in
here's
the majority.
My question.
Go ahead.
Now, if there are re-education camps, is there going to be a safe space for the black conservatives to be separate so they can be safe
well,
from
no,
the white?
Well, no, because a black conservative is a white supremacist. So you can't separate that because they lost their skin pigmentation once they decide that they don't want to vote for Democrats.
Of course. Then they're not really black. According to Biden. Yeah. You ain't black if you're going to vote for Trump.
And that's not racist somehow. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, isn't reverse racism still racism? I mean...
And if you say black people can't afford IDs to vote, how is that not racist?
Exactly.
I don't know a single black person that doesn't have an ID that's of ID age. I'm not talking about a six-year-old down the street. I'm talking about a legitimate adult black person. I've never once heard them say, I don't have an ID because I can't afford it.
Yeah, I mean, I've never gone to the liquor store and, you know, a black person is in line getting rung up and the cashier, you know, says, hey, I need to see your ID. I've never once seen a black person go, no, I don't have my ID because I can't afford it. I've never once came across that situation. It's ridiculous logic, I think. It's again, to, you know, keep everybody divided. You know, the more divided people are about especially race. Race is such an easy go-to to get people fighting against each other. And that's what the government wants, because the more we're focused on all this stuff, the more crap they can get away with.
Yes, but everybody on the plantation will rally behind that, because that's the great equalizer. Those that are still asleep will rise up and every day of their life, it's race, 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 gender race. That's the dog whistle. That's be on high alert. And people in the real world don't think that way. And don't think for a second that's the majority of America, because it's not. Only 25 to 30% of America are radical leftists.
And then I think it's probably a similar percentage that are on the far right as well. You know, there are extremes on both sides, of course, you know, but those extremes are not as big of a population as people really think they are, but they get the most attention. You know, that gives CNN more clicks, you know.
But I will say
more ratings.
It's not even close that there's more Trump supporters than there are Creepy Joe supporters.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And I think that, you know, I think the discouraging of the states that are going through their audits, you know, the voting audits, with the left discouraging that as much as they can, and ridiculing the efforts, you know, the more they fight it, the more it makes, I think, any normal person go, well, why? What's the harm? You know, and what's the harm of doing this? What's the harm of auditing it? What's the harm of making sure that future elections don't have issues? You know, find what the issues were, fix them for the next election so we don't have to deal with the same thing again.
Because they're telling you that asking for an audit and to make sure the election was fair, that's code word for racist. So that's why they need to keep that narrative, because if you question anything a Democrat does, then that means that you're racist.
Of course. You know, and the thing is by making everything racist, what it's doing is it's having
it
the opposite effect. Yeah, it's watering
right.
it down. It's you know, having the opposite effect. People are becoming desensitized to it, where it's just like, you know, it's such an everyday thing, you know, to see this racial division being pumped and pumped and pumped more and more. And where I think, you know, most people, you know, it's like, that's not our lives. We don't live our lives that way. You know, I don't live my life, you know, going, feeling like, oh, I'm white and I'm privileged, you know, and I'm better than you because you have darker skin. I mean, most of us out there do not live our lives in that mentality. And I think, you know, most people of color also aren't walking around, you know, constantly looking for racism in every single interaction they have with people, you know, in every single, you know, even Aunt Jemima. How many black people were offended by Aunt Jemima frickin' pancake syrup, right? I mean, who was offended by that? Hardly anybody. It's like, what? They have to change it because Aunt Jemima, a black woman, is on the front of it? I mean, it makes no sense.
Well, I've never understood also how Uncle Ben was racist. He owned a restaurant. Well, what is so racist about being a restaurant owner?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, but they won't dare take Michael Jordan off those Nikes made in sweatshops.
Or Kirkpatrick or whatever.
Who's Kirkpatrick?
You know, the football player that always kneels.
You mean Colin Kaepernick?
Kaepernick, that's what it is. Kaepernick.
Sorry, I wasn't trying to correct you. I just didn't know who you were talking about.
No, correct me when I'm getting my names mixed up. Yeah. That kind of thing. It just, yeah. But, of course, you know, Nike's, that's all coming from China, too. You know, it's kind of funny because I decided to rewatch this TV show 24 a while ago. And I only have a couple episodes left now of the 8th season, and then there's like a half season as the final season of it. And I've been rewatching it again. You know, the show, you know, premiered 20 years ago, and there's so, like, I think if you're a conspiracy theorist, you'll love, you know, you'd love that show if you've never watched it. But it's one of those things where it's like, oh, so much stuff goes on in that show that is based on reality, and it foresaw a lot of things too. A lot of things that were in the show that were predicted then, you know, we've seen happen. In season six, for example, one of the characters was one of the villains was going to escape and, you know, get a new identity, and he was going to escape to China with his grandson. And he said, because the future is in China. China's going to surpass the U.S. economy within the next decade. And that was foretelling. You know, back then, we didn't really think it. You know, we didn't, dismiss it. But now it's like, it's coming pretty soon. Like, China is right up there. And that's their goal. You know, they want to surpass us in every single way. They want to be the world-dominating power. They want to surpass everybody, even Russia. They have ties with Russia, very close ties with Russia. But, you know, as soon as they become, you know, the head honcho, they're going to screw over Russia, too. They're going to screw over anybody that they want to once they have the power that they want. And once the U.S. petrodollar is sunk, you know, the Chinese are going to be behind that, along with Russia. You know, the future is definitely, you know, the future that 24 in some ways predicted is happening. And it just goes to show, like, you know, with the show, like, going back to the first season, now the first season premiered in November of 2001. So it was only a month after 9/11. And, you know, so most of it, you know, had already been written and produced and everything long before 9/11 happened. And so that first, between the first season and the second season, where the second season was, you know, all planned and made and written after 9/11, there's a stark difference between the two. You can see how the Patriot Act and the increased security. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, you know, involving, you know, the terrorism and then the techniques that were being used, you know, the going back to things like torture and being utilized and things. And the show really reflected the difference in mentality from before 9/11 to after 9/11. And, yeah, so rewatching it again after all these years, especially from beginning to end, I mean, there's so much that I forgot about and so much that I notice more now than I did originally watching it. It's just pretty uncanny.
I loosely remember the TV show, but I never watched it. I'm not a TV guy.
Yeah, I understand that about you. But I'm a big TV buff, TV and movies buff. I always have been. And then, you know, like there was so little very good on, you know, and then some of my favorite shows have been canceled. And there just really wasn't very much out there that I was interested in watching, and I decided to rewatch 24. I'm like, you know, it's been a long time since I watched 24, you know. Missed that show. Decided to start watching it again and have gotten into it just like I did originally. You know, I was an avid fan of it. Never missed an episode. Just as good of a show today as it was then.
I watch movies even less than I watch Smell-O-Vision.
So what's your reasoning? So why don't you?
I went to exactly 3 movies, and 2 of them were with my kids.
What were the movies?
Let's see. My wife and I went to 1 movie just because we never went to a movie before, so we saw Horrible Bosses. Let's see. We saw
that one was a good
Inside
movie.
Out.
Inside Out. I don't think I've heard of it, but I don't think I've seen it.
I don't remember the third movie, so I don't know. Maybe I only saw two, but I thought there was three. I remember taking my kids to a second movie, but I can't tell you what it was. What year did Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs come out?
I have to look that up.
That might have been it. That might have been the other movie I was thinking of.
Cloudy with Meatballs. 2009.
All right. That's fair enough. From 2009 to 2019, I went to the movies three times.
See, I'm a big, I haven't been to a theater in probably over 20 years to see a movie. It always gave me migraines. When I was it's very, very rare that I even went to a theater in my adult life. For whatever reason, I started to always get migraines. Like halfway through the movie, I would just have a splitting migraine headache, and it would just ruin the whole thing. So now I just, you know, wait for it to come out on DVD or Blu-ray, you know, or now streaming, and I never bother. Especially with as expensive as it is, it's ridiculous.
All right, well, I guess we'll take our break and come back. Hopefully Dan joins us soon. We could open up the phones, too, I guess, if anybody did want to call in. But let's grab our break real quick, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Sure thing. I'll be here.
I'm Lauren Boebert. And I travel down to McAllen, Texas, to the Rio Grande Valley sector to see what's up at our southern border. So here's what's up at the border. Illegal aliens crossing the border. That's up. Sex offenders crossing the border. That's up. Drug trafficking, gun smuggling, human smuggling. That's up. Unaccompanied children being sent on this journey alone, and even worse, given over to the cartel.
Oh.
That is way, way up. You know what's not up at the southern border? Respect for law and order, funding for our border patrol. And where's the media to cover this crisis? More than 70 days ago, Biden named cackling Kamala as border czar, but she hasn't done a single thing to protect the American people. She hasn't even been down here to see the border or the tens of thousands of children wrapped in aluminum foil. You can't just hear about what's happening. You have to come down here to see for yourself, to really understand the devastating reality at our southern border. So I brought Kamala down to see exactly what this regime is responsible for with their man-made crisis. Now, Kamala, I want you to stand here and look at what you've done.
Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolli, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolli, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
Whoa.
Please check out our sponsor, SaveAround. SaveAround coupon books have been with us for several years, and they help you save money when going out to eat, renting a car, buying flowers, and all kinds of other good stuff. The good thing is you can view the coupon books before you buy. Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.com, and click on the Save Around book that you'll see right next to our chat room. Like I said, you could preview it before you purchase, and hopefully you'll save yourself some money and help us as well. Please check it out.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
Because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
I didn't know that there was beauty standards for apples.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time.
High-quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with
the
produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But what, why wouldn't you do... Why wouldn't you... Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Okay, class, we want to talk about what we learned during the lockdown. The first question is, what did we learn during the quarantine, kids? Susie,
that government overreach is real.
What about you, Johnny? We went from home of the brave to home of the government slave. And you, Michael?
We need to refresh the Tree of Liberty.
What about you, Diane?
So many sheep are willing to give up their rights because of a little fear.
Very good, class.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio.
I'm your host, Proof Negative. Dala's on vacation today, so we have Lorianne joining us here. So who wants
hello,
to go first?
Hello. Will you repeat that? You got a little choppy there for a sec.
I was asking which one of us wants to go first.
You take the lead, and I'll follow. How's that?
All right. So I want to just get this one off my news stack here. So a Buddhist temple in Japan covers the famous goddess statue with a 77-pound mask.
What? Why on earth? No, that's the ultimate in virtue signaling.
Correct. So, this was placed on the Buddhist goddess statue as part of a prayer by the local Buddhist temple asking for an end to the COVID pandemic. So it took four workers 3 hours to carry this mask on ropes of to put the mask on the statue of the Buddhist goddess called Kanon, the goddess of mercy.
Oh, for crying out loud. Yeah, I'm just looking at an article on that right now. Supposedly to pray for the end of COVID-19. Yeah, well, it's here to stay, folks, like the cold, you know.
Well, they can always go after the globalists instead. That would probably be better for them.
Absolutely. But I'm looking at a picture of it, and it's just, it's a muzzle, you know. It's a, you know, they say it's a, you know, pray for the end of it, but my first impression looking at a photo of it, to me, it looks like shut up about COVID-19. Shut up if you don't want to wear your mask.
Well, that's what it's supposed to symbolize. So if you noticed, and you're in Oregon, so you might not notice it as much as everybody else in the United States, but
you're getting a little choppy again.
You'll notice that these masks, most of the U.S., you're not required to wear a mask anymore. But it doesn't matter what state you're in. A liberal will still wear their mask everywhere because they don't want anybody mistaking them as a Republican. So it's become the ultimate virtue signal, political symbol. And you get these people that are saying, man, I can't breathe. It's 118 out, like here in Las Vegas. But they'll still wear it even though they can't breathe, because not being able to breathe is much better than being labeled a Republican or a Trump supporter.
Yeah, it's insanity. I mean, you know, I was just driving up the road, you know, the other day on the way to the grocery store, and I see this guy walking his dog all by himself on the sidewalk, nobody around him wearing his mask. And it's like, so it's like almost 90 degrees outside. Why are you wearing a mask to walk in the heat, you know? And that makes no sense at all, especially just being by yourself. Like, what do you think? You're going to suddenly get COVID from a tree that you walk by? I mean, what? It doesn't make sense. That's how ridiculous people are about this.
Well, yeah, but the thing is that when they're watching Real Housewives of insert city here, nobody on that show is telling them to take off the mask. Nobody on Fake News or Dancing with the Stars or America's Got Talent is telling them it's okay to not wear their mask. SpongeBob isn't doing an episode today on not wearing a mask.
Exactly. You can give it up now, you know, I mean, but of course, you know, and that's where, you know, Oregon wants employers or businesses to ask people if they're vaccinated or not. If you walk in without a mask, show
right.
me your papers, show me your bracelet.
Yeah, but you guys aren't even allowed to pump your own gas, so I don't trust you guys with anything. You guys think that pumping your own gas is going to cause all kinds of injuries and accidents.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I think a lot of the push behind that and sticking with it is because a lot of, I guess before that law became in place, there was a lot of drive-off. There are people that, you know, fill up their tank and drive off. And so
well,
to kind of thwart that.
Some states you pay before pumping. So all they had to do was institute, in order for the gas pump to work, you have to pay for it.
Exactly. Yeah, now that, you know, now every gas, you know, gas station has a, you know, you put your card in first so that you're, you know, basically pre-approved to purchase your gas. And so there really isn't a need for it. But, you know, I live here and I'm used to it, and I actually like not having to pump my own gas. When it's downpour rain, I don't mind not having to get out of the car and pump my own gas.
Unless you're on a road trip, like you're driving 6 hours and it was impossible to fill up before then, if you know that you're going to have 3 days of bad weather, you just make sure that your gas tank is full before the bad weather comes. Now that's just common knowledge 101 when you live in an area with inclement weather.
Exactly. I mean, we definitely could. I grew up in Minnesota. I got used to pumping my own gas when I was living in Minnesota. I mean, it's not a big deal. There's a lot of Oregonians, and unless you go out of state, you know, they get confused when they get up to a gas pump in California or up in Washington, and they're like, huh, what do I do?
Yeah,
but yeah,
I
mean, yeah, and it gives jobs. Give somebody a job to do. I don't know. So I guess I don't really fight it. But, you know, if they were to repeal that law and change it, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't object to it at all. I would be like, okay, whatever. You know, but then the people that are pumping the gas for everybody would have to find a different job. But that's the way of things everywhere else. I think is Oregon the only state that does that?
New Jersey. You got two of them.
New Jersey, too?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's pretty outdated. I mean, it's been that way for so long. I mean, I could see the rationale initially with the drive-offs because, you know, these gas pumps didn't have the technology to prepay or pre-do it. You know what I mean? You had to go inside the store, and that inconvenience and kind of already know how much you're going to put in and then go back out, pump your gas, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, now it's just, now there's cameras everywhere too. I mean, you don't go to a gas station and not be on camera anymore. So if you do drive off, you know, they're going to get you. You're on camera doing it. It's only a matter of time before it catches up with you. So, you know, it doesn't make any sense to try to do that nowadays anyway.
Yeah, the only way to get around it would be that you have just an average car with no license plate on it.
Yeah, or a block plate or something, yeah.
Well, you don't.
But
you
they
don't
still see your face.
Orange,
there's still facial recognition everywhere.
And silver 1967 Impala all tricked out and weird tires and all that stuff. You don't want anything noticeable if you're going to steal.
Yeah, exactly. You need a pretty common car, you know, that doesn't raise any red flags. But even then, you know, there's still facial recognition. You got to get out of your vehicle to pump the gas, right? And
yeah, but if you
so
are wearing
your face
sunglasses.
Is
going to
be on camera.
If you're wearing sunglasses and a mask, then you don't have to worry about that.
That's also true. Yeah. That's also true. And yeah, in Oregon, we're still, you know, everywhere you go, most of the businesses are still requiring masks. And that,
well,
you know, partially that's because Oregon was the only state to pass a law.
Well, most of Oregon probably wants their universal basic income, so we just have to learn to stop giving them money that they don't want. But we haven't reached the mainstream public by any chance. So our guest is ready.
Oh, good, good. I was wondering when we were expecting him.
So we have comedian Dan Ellison joining us live, I think, from Virginia. Unless he's on the
no,
road.
No, I'm actually in Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, you're kidding. Okay.
Nope. I just left Half Moon Bay, Oregon, and drove up here to Vancouver, Washington.
Oh. You're
not too far away from
me,
then.
A sadomasochist, one of the two.
Yeah, I'm just out on the road trying to get work if we open back up next year.
All right. So I'm trying to think of who runs rooms out there because Being a comedian, I know 25 years ago when I did the Pacific Northwest, it was always Dave Tribble who had a bunch of comedy rooms.
Correct, but he doesn't have anything anymore. It's some new people that I'm still trying to get in with. I was supposed to do a World Series event at Harvey's in Portland, but they closed down because Portland is just a disaster area.
Yes. But yet people are still moving there. I don't know how or why.
Oh, I can't figure it out. I mean, just drive down the interstates, and it's sad and sickening almost.
Yeah, I think I would rather live in East St. Louis or Gary, Indiana, before I move to Portland these days.
Well, seeing how their whole riot squad quit, I mean, you go figure.
Yeah, so I didn't talk about that yet. So what Dan's referring to is that Black Lives Matter had another mostly peaceful rally, and I don't remember what exactly transpired, but I know one police officer actually apprehended somebody who was burning down a building, and the state government actually suspended or fired said police officer who apprehended the peaceful protester. So 100% of the riot force quit on the spot.
Exactly.
Correct.
They
walked
off.
The DA announced that the officer would face criminal charges for use of force.
Correct. And that's why everybody left, because why would they want to get arrested for doing their job? And that's what they're paid to do. They're not paid to say, can you please stop that? The city of Portland loves you, and you don't want to destroy $8 million worth of property today, do you? Here's $10. Go see a movie.
Well, they definitely made it so Harvey's in Portland couldn't continue in business. There's a flight of business from downtown Portland, and I completely understand why. Like I said, I've been traveling out here for 26 years, and Portland used to be this beautiful city with no trash and mountains and city parks, and now it's just a pig pit.
I would
100% agree with you.
San Francisco is safer to live in now than Portland.
I think that'd be a coin toss, to be honest with you. They both are horrible.
I will still say...
Well, Portland's homeless problem is sure looking a lot like San Francisco's.
I think Chicago's the worst, and then Portland, then San Francisco, then New York City, and then Seattle. There's your worst five.
Oh, yeah. And I think, depending on the weekend, which one's the number one and which one's the number five.
Yeah.
Because they both have a ton of violence in them.
Well, yeah, Portland's violent crime rate is up, 800%? I mean,
yeah, they're up there with the big boys now. They're murdering more people there than cities with four or five times the population.
Yeah, the per capita rate is just completely off the wall. And it was just like Dan was saying, I mean, when I first moved here to Oregon 25 years ago, I mean, I enjoyed Portland. Portland was really great. Downtown was a really great place to go down. I worked on the other side of the river off of Burnside. And it was after work Friday night, you know, go downtown, hit up someplace, and, you know, with some coworkers and things. And then, of course, like the Japanese Garden and the Rose Garden. I mean, I liked downtown Portland then, you know, and I moved, you know, thank God. Now I'm down in Salem, and I haven't been up to Portland in 2 years because, you know, I just have no desire at all. I see the pictures and it saddens me. I think that, you know, if I drove up there, it would just sadden and anger me even more to see the complete garbage can that Portland's become.
Well, and that's the funny thing, because I drove in from the eastern side of the state and drove by the chain-up areas with sign after sign that says, huge fine for littering, huge fine for littering. And then you come over and go into Portland, and it is a literal shithole.
Yep.
And, you know, what do you do? I mean, they have to... This problem is going to get so much worse before it gets better. And there is no affordability in housing. There's a number of things that caused that. And a lot of them had to do with government regulations. Because I've said this before. Would you rather live in a house that's completely been inspected, 100% head to toe, everything's perfect, passed all the environmental regulations, made sure it didn't kill anything, made sure that the carpet's right, the walls are right, the traps are right, and pay $500,000? Would you rather live in something that was built by a private contractor who didn't have to jump through hoops, maybe didn't even have all those licenses, to build a decent place for $50,000?
Yeah, I know.
Because everything they do costs money. Every step they got to take costs money. And when there's $2,000 or $3,000 in permits just getting a house started, that's stupid.
Yes, but the goal is to discourage people from wanting to build their own houses. They're trying to pass legislation to ban any more single-family homes being built. Can you imagine?
Yep.
You save up money to you sell your starter house, and now you're ready to retire and have another house, but you can't build your dream home, not because you don't have the money, but because your state is no longer allowing any brand new houses to be built.
Oh yeah, well that's what's happened with the teeny homes, is that they can't meet city regulations because they require you to have a monster home, because with that they get monster taxes off your monster power bill. And nobody's allowed to build off the grid, because if you're off the grid, how are they supposed to get money? So, it's unreal.
Well, right now with the lumber prices being so astronomically high, you probably don't want to build your house right now anyway.
Well, yeah, there's other ways around it. You can make a container home.
Oh, yeah. But then, again, there's the city codes against container homes. So, it's one of those things. It's funny because our priorities are so screwed up in this country right now as to not even be funny. Because right now... if you go into Portland, you can try to burn the police station down. You can shoot people. You can throw bottles. You can throw Molotov cocktails. Everything's okay. But if I was going 5 miles an hour, the speed limit, like I supposedly was doing the other day, a cop will pull me over and run my papers.
Oh, it doesn't even have to be like that. It could just be that you chose to not wear a mask to go into IKEA. And they'll throw the book at you.
Yeah, we are so upside down, it's not even funny right now.
Yeah, so you can throw a Molotov cocktail into an IKEA. You just can't go in it unless you have a mask on.
Right, exactly.
But you can burn it down all you want. Just don't set foot in it.
Well, we were in a little casino down in just around Coos Bay. And we went into the casino, and there's a sign at the door that says, if you're vaccinated, you can go without a mask. If you're not vaccinated, you got to wear a mask. So the vaccine papers, they would love to have them right now, but the problem is they didn't keep good enough records on what happened now, and there is zero way to prove whether somebody has or
yes,
has not had that vaccine.
Set up on purpose, because the way that they can get around that for the next booster shot is you get to get your microchip. So this is set up on purpose so that those that are vaccinated will get their booster and they'll demand that everybody else get theirs. Because then with the microchip, there's no saying, I got one and I don't have to show you.
Well, I can't say
People are going to beg for it.
You know, now that, and when you mention it, there's an article from Ron Paul, Peace and Prosperity, how Ron Paul stopped the U.S. government from imposing a national vaccine passport. So far, the Biden administration has resisted the idea of a vaccine passport for the U.S. On May 28th, U.S. Director of Homeland Security said that the U.S. was taking a very close look at vaccine passports for international travel. Later that day, the DHS clarified there will be no federal mandate for vaccine passports in the U.S. According to the Los Angeles Times, the U.S. does not have a national database for immunization records that could act as a source of vaccination data for use in digital passes. That's because a national system to create a unique identification number to link the health records of every American has been banned since 1998, spearheaded by then-Representative Ron Paul, who said such a system would be an unwarranted privacy intrusion. So thank you, Ron Paul. That's why they get federally fed.
In the future, but for now there's a roadblock, but they'll figure that out. I have confidence that once this quantum dot tattoo gets going, that it'll be an unstoppable force for now.
They'll probably have to repeal that, and then. But see, that's why there's such a. That's why Oregon is pushing for employers to require it, because you know there's no restriction there. An employer can require you to be vaccinated. A business can require it and say, "Show me your papers." They're allowed to do it. You know, it's just the federal government is restricted from being able to implement a national policy like this, but that doesn't stop private businesses, and so that's where we're at.
Right. So therefore, government can put their elbow on the National Retailers Association.
Oh, definitely. Well, definitely. Like I said, this is – you got to ask yourself, why is nobody talking about antibodies? They're all like, well, if you get this, you're so much better than just getting natural antibodies, and then there's studies that show – the natural antibodies appear to be lifetime, and the ones that are injected are going to have a booster shot every year. So you tell me, because this has nothing to do with fact. This has nothing to do with reason. That's why they're doing it, and it doesn't make any sense, because it's not about safety, it's not about your health, and it's not about stopping this disease.
Right. It's all about compliance.
It's about fear and control and more power to government.
Exactly. So, you know.
And money.
What can
Don't
you
forget
do?
The money. Money, 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 money,
oh,
money.
Oh, money there. Well, there, how many hundreds of millions of doses have they bought of the shit? And nobody take. This isn't coming from, you know, other than through taxes. This isn't coming through people. And Joe Biden's out there going to buy 500 million doses to give to the world from a country that's running a $3 trillion deficit, and everybody thinks that's okay. And it's
yes,
not.
But a lot of people don't realize that the vaccines, like when Creepy Joe went on the Smell-O-Vision and said that he's giving India all these AstraZeneca vaccines, those were the ones that were failed by the Fraud and Death Administration. So he's somehow a savior because he could repurpose these gene therapies that are not suitable even for emergency use in the United States, so they can give them to another country instead of throwing them out.
Oh, yeah. And they've also distributed a whole bunch of Johnson & Johnson ones that were tainted, and they knew it.
Yes.
So this is – it's amazing how many people are saying this is okay. That is what's really amazing to me. There's 35 to 40% of the population that is on board with this, and it makes no sense to me how you can look at what they're doing
and think it has to do anything with what's happened.
But if it saves just one life.
I know.
Damn it. Sorry, I was trying to hit the back button on my computer, and Dahl's helicopter from last week keeps popping up, and I don't know why.
Well, that's okay, because I'm sitting in the driveway hooking on a hot Wi-Fi network so I can actually talk on my phone because I got one bar, so I'm surprised I'm hanging in here this long.
Yeah, so what's your schedule like for the next couple weeks?
Well, I'm hanging out here in Vancouver. I'm trying to find a room out here to set up to do comedy next fall. I'm trying to put next year together because around here they are starting to open up, but people are real iffy. And so if it give it a full year, then it's either going to be Civil War and there won't be any shows, or it's going to be we figured out how to not fight each other and kill each other, and hopefully I come back next year and do a tour. So you never know anymore, because they get everybody so screwed up, and like people are opening up. Now they're trying to scare people with these new variants and this variant and that variant, and this one's more deadly and that one's more, and you'll run for the hills. And it's just, it's sad what they've done to businesses. They've destroyed a ton of small private businesses. They have enriched by trillions the big businesses, and they have done it all on the back of every single small business in America.
Yes, but some of the businesses, it's their own fault, though. Because
there's always going to be a certain amount of that.
Even today, you still have mom and pop places that are requiring masks for no reason.
Oh yeah.
The audio is going out of control.
Yeah, it's like I'm trying to refresh my. All I'm doing is hitting the refresh button so that I can. For my Facebook, sometimes I hit refresh and you know how new messages pop up and there might be some news I'm missing, but for whatever reason I'm getting that.
Ah. Yeah.
I'll
that's
stop
the joys
hitting
of the
refresh.
Computer world. Oh man.
So Dan, so tell me, you know, you're a comedian. I have got to imagine that being a comedian is so much harder now than it was even like 10 years ago. Because people are so easily offended about everything anymore. You can't joke about things anymore without somebody getting all bent out of shape. You know, I mean,
I'll tell you this.
It's got to be harder for you. What's your experience like?
I've been doing comedy full-time since 1996. And in 1996, before there was a real professional, organized group that ran the college gigs were basically booked by the college kids themselves. They would find a booker and then the comics would come in. And it was wide open. Matter of fact, they wanted it dirty. And then it started changing somewhere around, I'm going to say, like 2000-ish, right in that era. Then NACA became the big thing, and then NACA took over, and then they started putting all these contracts where you can't say this word, you can't talk about that, you can't make fun of this ethnicity, and then basically everybody just stopped going there. A lot of comics just will not do a college gig for the exact reasons of the censorship that is just unreal. And so a lot of people just said no. And now it's kind of like the cruise liners. The cruise liners, you have to do a clean show and then a dirty show. That actually is more like the past used to be, because in the past, the words you say on Nickelodeon now couldn't be said on stage. That's how much it changed. And while they're telling teams,
change that slightly. You can't say the words that are used in teaching first grade sex education.
Right. Hey, like I said, this is insanity what we're watching. This world is being turned upside down right before us.
And
people do not want to see it.
Go up on stage and say that you like Trump. You'll be fired on the spot.
Oh, yeah. Well, the funny thing is I like to go up on open mics and make fun of Biden. I said he made Putin an offer he couldn't understand.
And how many clubs have asked you to leave because you said that?
Well, it's open mics. I don't do it in the big clubs because I've even had to tone down what I mentioned to you I wanted to talk about was police profiling, because I used to do a lot of bits about it, and people actually get butthurt because, oh, you're picking on the police. I'm not picking on the police, kids. If you'd really listen to what I'm talking about basic rights. The reason you don't realize it is you stay in your town, you drive around your little neighborhood, every cop knows who you are in that neighborhood, and they leave you alone, and they don't bother you. You just drive around. But if you leave your town and you go to some place where they don't recognize you, they will make up the simplest, most basic, most stupid reasons to pull you over, simply so they can run your papers to make sure you're not a criminal. This is absolutely no different, and people are going to hate the comparison, to Nazi Germany and America right before we fought a war to get rid of Britain, where they can just basically come to you for any reason, stop you, demand your ID, check your background, prove your innocence, and send you on your way. And all my friends go, well, they didn't take any money, so what did you lose? How do you explain to them more cops are killed in traffic accidents on the side of the highway than are killed by gunfire, yet they insist on pulling people onto the side of the highway for very simple reasons? In the past 6 months, I've been pulled over for a license plate light out, 60 and a 55, and following too closely.
Oh.
Where were you pulled over for going 60 and a 55?
Hey,
just about a week ago in Klamath Falls, Oregon.
In Klamath Falls, really? Huh.
Yeah. If you go to my YouTube, go to YouTube and look up Dan Ellison, you'll find my YouTube page. And there's the stop from Oklahoma where the guy said I was following too closely, which my dash cam obviously proved I wasn't. The stop from Klamath Falls is up there. And that's why I have a dash cam. That's why I spent the money on a dash cam. It's not for criminals. It's for cops. Because I've been pulled over 51 times. Over 51 times in my 20-some years of doing comedy. I've been pulled over for kind of, sort of, touching the follow line, a dirty license plate. You look like you were drifting off because you were weaving in your lane, which means I didn't even leave my lane. I've been pulled over for a fluttering hood, dangling objects, which was a picture of my kids hanging from the rearview mirror, sitting on the Easter Bunny's lap. The guy who pulled me over for that had a broken windshield from side to side, dead down the center, but that wasn't a problem. You can name it, I've been pulled over for.
That's insane. I mean, you would think that they wouldn't want to have to deal with the paperwork of, you know, pulling somebody over for something petty like that. You know what I mean? Isn't that a waste of their time? Don't they have better things to do than do that?
That's the whole point.
There's pretty boring
out there.
I've had 4 tickets in my life for 5 miles an hour over.
No, they're sent out there to see. This is the whole game, because if you go through their whole, I can give you word for word what's going to be the next thing said by a cop, because I've been pulled over so many times. I know the script. I know exactly how it goes. I know exactly how it starts. And what I've learned to do is to tell the cop, I know exactly what you're doing. And the cop, with his ego, will deliberately not do what I just said to prove to me I'm wrong. Because every time I've been nice to a cop and been all pleasant and answered all their stupid questions about where I'm coming from and where I'm going to, they always get to the point where they go, do you mind if I search your car? Every single time, if you're nice to them, they will get to that moment where they'll feel comfortable enough that you're not going to be a problem, and you'll say yes. But if you treat them like an asshole from the jump and just give them shit and go, I know what you're doing, they want you gone, they don't want to search, they realize they've been caught, and they send you on your merry way. And I can't even tell you how irritating it is to have people trying to go through your personal belongings, because when I'm traveling, I have most of my personal belongings with me in my van. And I don't want you going through my underwear, and I don't want you going through my socks, and I don't want you in my shit. It's called the Fourth Amendment. It used to mean something. It doesn't anymore.
Exactly, and it's like, especially like, oh, okay, your license plate light is out. That's no justification at all for searching your vehicle. And,
exactly.
You know, but like you're saying, you know, if you're a nice person, then they'll take advantage of that and figure, oh, well, they'll just let me do it. And then they can, you know, go, oh, you know, there's a little, you know, there can be some grass clippings or something that you dragged into the car, and they can call it marijuana, and all of a sudden, you know, you're charged with possession of marijuana, even though it's not marijuana or something. I mean, they can find all kinds of ridiculous things doing that, which, you know, it's like, no, if you don't have justification for searching my car, then I'm going to say no, and I'll do it nicely. I'll be respectful, but I'm going to say no. You don't have my permission to do so.
Well, see, on the side of the highway, you only have the rights the guy with the gun says you have. And while I'm one of these people who will go, no, you can't search my car, I had a cop one night saying he was going to search my car, of all things, for a radar detector, because I was in Virginia. And what I did was I came over a hill, and he was sitting in the median strip. I thought it was a car making a U-turn, so I tapped my brakes. Well, he interpreted that as me getting his radar on my Fuzzbuster and setting off my brakes to slow down, even though I was doing the speed limit. So he made up this line, said I was doing 80 and 60, which I know I wasn't doing because I was stoned. And everybody stoned knows you don't do 20 mile an hour over the speed limit on a four-lane road that's thick with cops. And he pulled me over and told me that he was going to search my car for a radar detector. And he said, I said, no, you're not. He goes, you can get out or I'm going to drag you out. And I had my Doberman with me. And I had a red Dobie that didn't like cops. And I knew if he laid hands on me, the dog would bite him. He'd shoot my dog. I'd have to kill him. Then I'd have to drive and kill my ex-wife, because if you're going to do it, you might as well go all the way. You know what I'm saying? Don't just BOGO that bitch while you're at it. But I called the sheriff to ask to get the video, and I was told, you file your Freedom of Information Act, boy, that video will just disappear. And that's why you film these bastards every single time you interact with them, because they will lie, they will destroy evidence, and they will do whatever's necessary to get you on whatever they can get you on. And it's a crying shame, because that's not the police I grew up with.
Yeah, it's more and more revenue, you know. That's all.
Oh, yeah,
it is.
They're not out.
Every new law that's out there that makes people feel good that there's a law, it's like people don't understand, well, laws need enforcement. And, you know, and with that enforcement, that's going to generate getting pulled over for stupid crap and getting your rights violated. You're just, you know, every single law opens up the door for that. And so people really got to start being more smart about, hey, is this new law really something that, you know, we want to have done? I think, you know, not all cops are bad, of course, but it certainly gives the cops that are bad the opportunity.
Well, you remember when the IRS was really just being assholes and audited people, and people were getting really upset, and then they took the time at Congress to write a Bill of Rights for the people to deal with the IRS? I think we need a Bill of Rights for drivers that gives you, without you going to court, a payment to deter the cops from doing what they're doing. In other words, if you pull me over for speeding and I beat it in court, then you owe me $1,000, because it shouldn't be a one-way street with the fines. And if you're going to make up something and I prove you did, I should get $1,000. If your dog says I have drugs or something in my car and you search and you don't find anything, that should be $50,000 right there, because you violated my rights, and rights should be expensive to violate. And there should just be a group of things that if they do this and it happens, then you get this. And you shouldn't have to hire an attorney. You shouldn't have to sue. This should just be automatic, determined, and given to you. And that would stop half of this nonsense, because they'd really make sure they had a good reason before they took you onto the dangerous side of the highway to try to search you.
I am 100% with you on that. I like that idea. You know, it shouldn't be just a one-way street, and I totally agree with you. If there's a financial discouragement from bullshit pullovers, you know, and bullshit charges against you that disrupts your life, and they just are able to do it with impunity, then what's to discourage them? Nothing.
Well, see, they get paid to go to court, too. So and if they did mess up and they did violate your rights, they're not even going to be responsible for that. So that'd be like giving me a gun and telling me I can just go out and shoot and destroy whatever I want. I won't be responsible for anything. No matter what it is, somebody else will always bear the punishment. So there is no incentive for me to behave.
Yes, and if you are part of Antifa or Black Lives Matter, that's how you live right now.
Exactly. Go do whatever you want. You're not going to go spend time in jail. And then everybody else suffers. And there's going to be a vigilante backlash. That's going to happen. You remember in the late 70s, the guardian angels that showed up in New York because the crime was so shitty?
Yeah, back when Ed Koch was doing his thing, right. And Mayor Dinkins,
yeah,
was probably worse.
Yep. And so there's going to be a backlash if they don't settle down, if they don't set some guidelines, if they don't set some rules. And I kind of feel they want that backlash to happen, because look at the cops. Cops are dressed full battle rattle, like they're ready walking down the streets in Fallujah to patrol a free country, whereas they can shoot anybody who has anything in their hand and walk scot-free, but over in a war zone, you can't shoot somebody unless they shoot at you first. And we're in a free country, and they're in a war zone, and we have to fear more than they have to fear.
Yep, exactly, because federally, you know, the federal government is not, you know, it's unconstitutional for having standing armies. And so the way around that is for our military to be selling all of this equipment to local police departments. That's why you have, you know, tanks and, you know, these big decked out Hummers and stuff that the police are using. They're militarizing the local police to get around that constitutional limitation.
And it encourages violence. It does, because if they know that they can just go up to any situation and just go balls to the wall without any worry, like you go up there in one of them Bearcats that's all armored up, then they're encouraged to not negotiate. They're encouraged to go in headlong and use their toys that they only get to use in those situations. And it's a very bad precedent to set. Our police are supposed to serve and protect and not be out here dressed like a warrior and oppressing people and talking to people like they're trash and saying, I ask everybody if they have any wants or warrants. What is that a way to look at somebody? It is disgusting. It is down-talking, and it's degrading, and it shouldn't be allowed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and it's not that all cops are bad, but, I mean, you know, good people are forced to do bad things sometimes in order to enforce these laws. If you're in law enforcement and, you know, it doesn't matter if you don't agree with the law, you know, but it's still your job to enforce it. And every time you pull somebody over, every time you question somebody, is an open door for a violent conflict to happen. And it's just the reality. And, you know, it doesn't take much for a good cop to become a bad cop in a high-stress situation. And then also, you know, and then you got, you know, they cover for each other. So a good cop becomes a bad cop just by having their partner's back when their partner does something that's, you know, completely wrong to do, illegal or morally. And, you know, the buddy system, that good cop partner, you know, suddenly becomes a bad cop because they're not going to talk to their boss about it. They're not going to report it to anybody. They're not going to, you know, initiate an internal investigation against their partner. You know, and so there's nobody that, you know, who's holding them accountable for when they do immoral or illegal actions against citizens.
Well, they've got it set so now that victimless crimes are a reason for deadly force. Because if you're speeding and a cop puts on his lights and you don't pull over, they will use deadly force to stop you. So we're willing to use deadly force to enforce traffic laws that most people don't obey to begin with. Most people don't
drive.
But
they don't even obey.
Right. They don't even. Nobody obeys these laws. Yet if you're going by and he just decides you're the one, then you're the one that's going to pay the ticket that day. And you're supposed to be just okay with that. Well, I'm just going to rob you for your safety. And then if you don't show up and pay your fine, they'll kill you for your safety. They need to stop doing traffic infractions is what I'm saying, because even with all the people saying defund the police, nobody's saying defund the detectives. Because when the detectives show up, it's usually in response to a crime that has been committed against you, and they are going to try to solve a real crime with a real victim and a real perpetrator rather than making up a victim that is never there, that you're speeding and you're going to kill and you don't.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think I've ever driven down the freeway and there's a state trooper or police officer driving on the freeway that isn't speeding. You know,
exactly.
I don't think I've ever, you know, I'll, you know, match speeds with them, and they're going 65 and a 55, you know, like everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
But then they'll pull somebody over, like you, for only going 5 miles over. It's like, come on now. You know, aren't police officers supposed to abide by the same laws as everybody else that they enforce? You know, they're supposed to.
Yeah,
but
the thing
they
is that what you're missing is that somebody going 70 and a 65 isn't considered a threat, so it's an easy target.
Yep.
It's a lot easier to say that you made some revenue money for somebody going 5 miles an hour over instead of saying, hey, there's a suspect on the loose on 6th Street, four people fear dead.
Exactly.
They'd rather be the one pulling over an old lady for going 5 miles an hour under the speed limit than have to go handle a liquor store robbery.
Well, also, when a cop sits in the median strip trying to look like a tree so they can pop people for speeding, that means the area his car would normally be driving is not being patrolled. He is stationary. You're not patrolling stationary. If they took these cops and got them off of interstate and got them on these side roads where the bodies are always found, because remember, they always find these bodies dumped on this desolate side road. Well, it's a desolate side road because cops never go down there because they're too busy sitting in the median strip trying to make money rather than driving through the community, the area they're supposed to serve, and patrolling and looking. And maybe they always talk about, well, maybe I'll find a criminal on interstate when I pull them over for speeding. Well, maybe you'll find a criminal if you're on that back road where he's jumping a body, and instead of finding somebody as a criminal for five over the speed limit, you find somebody who murdered somebody as a real criminal.
Yeah, usually when you pull somebody over, that maybe they have a warrant for their arrest because 3 years ago they got a ticket that may or may not have been handled, but it's not showing up on the computer.
Exactly. It's a crying shame what we're letting people do right now. Because we are asking the cops to ignore real crime and then go out and make up other crimes so we can take money. And see, that comes from
the
top.
Speaking of real crime, you see somebody that shot up a bunch of people on the BART trains, which is the San Francisco subway system. And they put all over the news, if you recognize this person, please contact the local authorities. And they pixeled out the top half of his body so that you couldn't tell what skin color he has, let alone his face.
Like, good luck with that. You know, you better be confident. You know, you spot the person and they happen to be wearing the exact same outfit, but they haven't changed clothes, because you can't identify them any other way.
Well, that's just like in Austin, Texas, somebody shot up a bunch of people last weekend. The newspaper, the Austin American Statesman, won't put anything out about the big shooting because they don't want to. If they show a picture of him, then they'll think that it's stereotyping.
Exactly. It's
so everybody's
just, it is.
Everybody's so worried about political correctness that it doesn't matter what anybody does now. Everybody's just worried that they're going to get in trouble, so they're just going to pretend it didn't happen.
Oh, yeah. That's just...
And it's for that reason. It's that reason why everybody's on highway patrol duty.
Yeah. Hey, they have decided where they can make money and where they can't. And where they can make money, they're going to keep enforcing these stupid rules because we'll obey it, and criminals won't. Just like all the gun registration laws, which an innocent person will obey and a criminal will not, where they won't turn around and just make a law that punishes the criminal that says, if you do this, we'll do that, and enforce it across the board, because that would actually make people behave and make people feel real safe, and they can't control you if you feel safe.
I can go on and on about gun control laws. I can tell you that right now. We could start a whole other conversation for the rest of the show about gun control laws. As I'm a very avid Second Amendment supporter, definitely gun rights supporter. And here's the thing that the gun grabbers will not admit to, and that is that the racist history of gun control laws. And that racist history is not totally history. I mean, it's still going on now. It is absolutely no coincidence that these even more restrictive gun law proposals, like registration, banning anything over 10 rounds, you know, having special licenses if you have a semi-automatic rifle or pistol. I mean, you know, it's a database. One legislation even wants to create a mass database that's public of firearm owners. So treat legal firearm owners as if they're sex offenders or something, you know, and have a database that's public. That's what they're pushing for. And there's no coincidence at all that all this pushing is happening after two straight years of people of color and women being buying guns for the first time in record numbers all across the country.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it is not a coincidence at all. Black Americans, Latino, Hispanic, Asian, I mean, you name it. The people of color are buying guns for the first time in record numbers the last 2 years, and at the exact same time, these more restrictive gun laws are coming into play. So, you know, gun control laws were racist from the very beginning, and they're still racist today. And that is what never in a million years is Biden ever going to admit to that. Never in a million years is Kate Brown, our dictator governor, going to admit to that. That's the true aim. It has nothing to do with being more safe. It has nothing to do with reducing gun violence. That's just the fluff that they're giving it. The real reason is to disarm minorities, to make it so expensive and so almost impossible to be a legal gun owner, you know, and to thwart minorities having that ability to do so, that and low-income people, the people that need it the most, you know, the people that are in low-income neighborhoods with high crime rates are the ones that need to protect themselves the most, and these gun laws are going to make it more and more out of reach for them. And I can go on and on forever, but, I mean, it's insane. It's absolutely insane, and, you know, one of the things that really irritates me is this argument that even Republicans use by this false equivalency between gun ownership, you know, well, when you're driving, you have to have a license. When you're driving, you have to take a driver's test. When you're driving, you know, I mean, they'll compare it to driving, and it's like, hey, guess what? The Constitution did not say anything about driving. Why? Cars weren't invented yet? Well, guess what? The Constitution also didn't make it a right for you to own a horse and buggy either, you know? They didn't, you know, they didn't regulate that either, you know what I mean? So it's like gun, you know, the right to own a gun is a fundamental right protected by our Constitution to limit our government authority to restrict us from having it. And that's the whole point of it. And they want to try to, you know, collude this argument and make these false equivalencies that are absolutely not. And this, so, you know what? If you're going to pass all this crap, if you're going to make me pay for a license, if you're going to make me pay for safety courses, if you're going to make me pay, you know, pay because I have a gun that, you know, you don't like, a semi-auto, you know, if you're going to make me pay for all this stuff, and if this is a fundamental right, then the state should pay for that. The government should pay for that. You know, education is not a right, but the government pays for it. You know, voting is a right, and the state pays for it. You know, imagine if there were laws that were being created for voting, like there are guns. You know, our right to vote. You know, what if we had to pay $50 at the door at the polling station before you could vote? What if you had to pay $50 just to register to vote? Well, you know, what if you put all these things, put all these costs onto voting? And, you know, that's the real discouragement. You know, people want to say that having an ID to vote is racist. No. You know, what if you put all these excessive fines on your ability to vote like you are with guns? You know, then there'd be complete outrage. But, you know, there isn't the same outrage for the right to own a gun. And so it's like, if you're going to put all these restrictions on me, fine, you put the bill for it. Let the taxpayers put the bill for it if that's what they want. You pay for my safety. You pay, you know, you pay for my license and renewing it. You pay for all that stuff. Don't make it come out of my pocket to, you know, just to be able to express my right.
Well, the thing is with me, they're trying to just put gateway after gateway when it very simply says no law shall be made. We've already passed that, and always the answer is, well, you don't want safety, why don't you give it a chance? But we've given in 3,000 to 8,000 times, depending on who you talk to and how many gun laws there are. And the ID stuff, don't forget, they required people to have an ID to get the vaccine. Don't forget that. If you got the vaccine, you had to have an ID. So the voter laws, not having an ID, but to get a vaccine. So, like, again,
for the vaccine, that's not racist.
Right. They're sending mixed signals, and they're trying to confuse people. Because nobody's trying to communicate from Washington. There's a couple people trying to, but the vast majority of Washington is on the Biden train, and the Biden train is just a puppet for Obama, and they are following Cloward and Piven right to the line. Everybody, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. Well, remember, conspiracy theorists once believed that UFOs were real, and had the government had UFO stuff, which was proven to be true. Conspiracy theorists once believed that marijuana was harmless, but the government put it on the same level as opium, and now that's proven to be not true. So why can't you believe anything that comes from Washington?
Conspiracy theorists thought that cigarettes would actually cause cancer.
Exactly. Everything.
Yeah, I mean, you look at
odds
for cigarettes, like in the 50s and 60s, like, our doctor recommends, you know, this brand of cigarettes. And, you know, it's like a doctor recommending it, what, you know, but apparently, if you thought that was wrong, you know, you're just a nutcase.
Well, the worst part about it is, if you listen to people, what all this has done is what they were attempting to do. It has disenfranchised a lot of people. My girlfriend, I was trying to get her to vote, and then she finally votes, and then all this Biden stuff happens, and she's like, I feel disgusted. I feel like I don't even want to vote again. And that's what they're banking on, is getting people so disgusted with everything that they just tune out. They say it doesn't matter. That gives the government carte blanche to do whatever it wants to do, and it will do whatever it wants to do, because that's what big government does.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and if you want to trust your government, it's like, you know, our government has been behind some of the most crazy things in history that, you know, anybody that has a brain should know that, you know, they kind of joke about it, but it's true. If your government is saying, trust me, I'm here to help, then that's a red flag right there. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, Nate, I
sat
down at
the
bar
one night.
You're not doing
it out of kindness of your heart.
I said to some guy at a bar one night, I said, name me the thing the government does that you consider the best and the most cheap. And he couldn't give me anything. And then he tried to grab it. He goes, well, Medicare. I said, have you ever used Medicare? Because I have, because I was taking care of my parents at that time. It's garbage. It's the worst insurance that you could ever have. You practically got to beg doctors to take you.
My mom would vouch for that. Like, that Medicare would not pay for her to see a doctor to actually give her, like, if the doctor had to touch her, actually touch her, then Medicare didn't want to pay for it. Like, how do you get a physical exam without a doctor actually touching you? You know? I mean, it's an uphill battle. Just to get a normal physical, it's an uphill battle. I mean, my mom would attest to that. It's insanity.
Well, we're letting it happen. And until somebody makes that stand, they're going to keep going. And I think that's why they backed off a lot on the mask thing, because people were getting to that moment where there was going to be a breakage. And they need that control to stay around as long as they can. And that control is the bait they're going to use to get you to take the vaccine. You want to take your mask off? Take the vaccine. You want to travel? Take the vaccine. You want to do anything? Take the vaccine. If it was about health, they would check people for the antibody. If you had the antibody, you would not need the vaccine.
it's not about health.
Yes, but they're gambling on the fact that the average person knows nothing about science. And as long as they say the word science, then therefore they're vindicated.
True.
Because most people are just educated idiots.
Well, see, the funny thing is a lot of the stuff that's my knowledge now was taught to me in high school in biology and shit like that when they really used to teach you stuff and give you tests and you had to know it, and if you didn't, you wouldn't get moved up. And now they just push everybody, go ahead and graduate. You don't need to know any of this stuff. But the basics were taught at school because we didn't spend a bunch of time trying to politicize people. We tried to put out a grounded, educated person.
Yeah, now it's just about how much indoctrination can you remember.
Exactly. And the trades are falling by the wayside because people see them as horrible and demeaning and all this other stuff. And not to mention, and everybody doesn't explain this one, and nobody can tell me why, but everybody knows this is true. Over the past, like, 40 or 50 years, male testosterone has plummeted to the point where a young boy now barely has the testosterone of a middle to late age man in the 60s.
Mm.
And so, whether people like it or not, we don't have a bunch of boys who grew up playing in the woods, fixing cars, and going to shop class because most schools don't even have shop class anymore.
I remember wood shop.
Right. And it was a great place. Sometimes it would spark people to go on to do something better because they didn't realize they were good at that. And it's a great thing to let people learn to work with their hands. But now they're so worried about lawsuits because if somebody screws up and gets hurt, the school's going to lose millions.
I even took auto shop class.
Oh, yeah. I took woodworking class, plus on the weekends, me and my buddies always worked on cars. That was things we did. But now, even in California, they're trying to make laws that say you can't work on your own car on your own property. Because it's got to be somebody educated by a school to know something. Because you can't possibly teach yourself, because the only way you can get smart is for the government to teach you, or you're just going to be a dummy for the rest of your life.
Right, but if you're a dummy, then that means that you'll sit and take your universal basic income because you don't have a skill. And you're not motivated to do anything that you can get a skill on.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
What, you mean a bachelor's degree in gender studies isn't a skill?
So even
you can make a living on?
Even if you had to rely on yourself, I've done stocks, I do crypto, I used to own a baseball card store. I can buy and sell, I can hustle, I'll be okay. But the average person doesn't do any of that stuff.
But let's go ahead and forgive all their student loans. You know,
yeah.
They took out 4 years worth of student loans for a, you know, bachelor's degree in something completely useless that they'll never get a job doing. And so now that they're riddled in debt and they have to take a minimum wage job because they didn't actually learn a skill with all the tens of thousands of dollars that they paid, now let's go ahead and forgive those student loans. You know, and reward people for making bad decisions when it comes to their education. I mean, I remember with my nieces and nephew, I was like, you know, what you should do is go to a trade school, learn a trade, something that you can actually do, and then let that job that you get from that trade help pay for you to go to school for whatever you want. If you want to get a degree in philosophy, go for it. You know, at least you have a trade skill that will give you a well-paying job that'll help you pay for it, and you won't be riddled in debt for the rest of your life to the Department of Education for your loans.
Also, if they decide to really forgive student loans, old grandpa here is going back to school before they started, because I want at least $20,000 that I can have and be paid for.
But what gets me is that people that have earned a degree and have $300,000 or $400,000 in college student loan debt, they want to be bailed out by people like me who I dropped out as a freshman in college.
Which I went through a trade school.
Why am I going to pay for somebody else's degree if I didn't try to get one myself?
I went through a trade school and paid mine off. This is one of those things where you guys should really be conscious of the fact that you made these decisions. And if we don't let them off, see, the schools have no incentive to cut their costs because they just say to these kids, this is what it is, and they just say, okay, and they go get the money. And if you can just get money no matter what it is for any reason and then not have to pay it back, then school is going to skyrocket in cost because there's nothing to hold the cost down. There's no responsibility.
Exactly right. The cost of tuition going up coincides with the schools getting more money based on government loans and grants. When they know that they're going to get that money coming in, then they can jack up their tuition prices as a result. It's
yes,
a financial reward system.
Involved in this dichotomy, though, where if you think college is expensive now, wait until it's free.
Oh, yeah. And then it will be an absolute shit product, too. Just look at your public schools. How much millions have they dumped into that? And that's really not going real good neither, is it?
Exactly.
Well, no,
how much do we pay on that and kids still graduate and can't point the U.S. out on a stupid map? You know, get a world map in front of them and they can't pick out where's Canada. I don't know. You know, that's what we've been paying for. Where's China? I don't know. I can't pick it out on a map. I just graduated high school.
Well, it's going to have to be changed at the heart. And I don't think it can be done because the change started to happen. You could see a little bit of it. But what they did with the last election, trying to convince people that the guy who never got more than 2% of the vote in any presidential anything suddenly got more votes than anybody in the history of anybody, and from the fewest counties, and without taking states that were supposed to be the road to the White House, and it changed overnight after five places stopped their voting. If you believe that man won, then I don't know what to say to you, because you can't look at the facts, and the facts are obvious to anybody who will think about it, that this is not real, and they went right back to what they were doing before. They want to shut us off from drilling our own oil. They want to make us indebted to the world, and they want us to be a player on the world stage and fling our money to everybody who already has their own money, just to be nice guys.
What's wrong with that?
What'd you say?
I said, what's wrong with that? Besides everything.
Besides everything? Tough question.
Yeah, but remember,
heaven
if you
forbid
made
we be independent.
Great again, that's considered racist. That even if you're
right.
Black, you're a white supremacist now. If you believe that people that live in America should focus on America first.
Well, just tell that to all the Ford employees with all the trucks sitting in all the speedways across the country because we can't get a computer chip because it's made in a foreign country.
Hey, I'm at this point, I'm happy these microchips are too costly and taking forever to print, because if they were cheaper, they'd be really pushing these microchips on our persons.
Nobody's going to pay for those microchips. That's going to be all free.
That's
sure
going to be the selling point.
Say, hurry up, limited quantity in stock of microchips, and if you get them, you got to get in line now, because they're going to be going away soon, and if you get one, we'll give you a free $100. But you got to get them now. They're going fast.
Hey, they're giving out lap
dances.
Yeah,
don't be one of the
Kansas.
First to get it. You got to wait until there's a lottery and you can become a millionaire by getting it. That's the smart move, right?
Hey, they're giving lap dances in Kansas if you get the vaccine.
I'm pretty sure there's probably strip clubs in Portland that are doing the same thing.
I don't know how you get to disinfect a place like that enough to give needles out.
Well, in downtown Portland, all you got to do is just walk down the street. You can gobble up a whole bunch of syringes, everything that you need just on the side of the street.
I need to go pick up some of the needles so I can use them for my blowgun when the apocalypse comes.
Oh, and if you don't have a mask, you don't have to buy that either. Just go to Walgreens or any parking lot. You'll see all kinds of disposable masks there in the parking lot. You just pick them right up, and you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, it's for the environment.
Yes, it's so environmentally friendly. Yeah. I mean, it's disgusting, because that's exactly what happened. I went to Walgreens to pick up a photo book for Mother's Day, because I ordered, my sister had made this photo book, and I worked with her on it, and then I wanted a copy of it. I went to pick it up. And that Walgreens parking lot is just littered with disposable masks all over the place. And I'm just like, this is just disgusting. And this is just one parking lot, you know, not to mention what's going on all around the world. You know, these disposable masks are showing up everywhere in every single waterway you can imagine, every lake, river, stream, ocean, you name it. You know, these masks are everywhere. And it's just an environmental catastrophe.
I don't know if you've heard this or not, but they also, the cheap ones that were made in China, again, they have little blue plastic hairs that will release from them when you breathe through them, and kids are getting collected in their nostrils and nasal passages and causing infections.
Yes.
So...
Oh, yeah.
But at least they didn't get the Rona.
The longer you wear them, you know, they're not even very effective as it is. They'll hardly protect you, but they become even less effective the more moisture they have, which means the longer you wear it, the less effective they become, because your moisture from your breathing is going to act like a magnet, and it's going to attract bacteria. It's going to attract, you know, all kinds of stuff. So you're going to get, the longer you wear this mask, the more prone you are to getting sick. You know, again, it makes no sense, especially when it's like 90, 100 degrees outside and people are outside wearing these damn masks. You know, it makes no sense. They're just inviting it.
They had a resurgence of Legionnaire's disease that's being caused by exactly what you're talking about, because it's bacteria in a warm, moist environment, and we Legionnaire's disease actually thrived on. That's why it was good in the air conditioners. That's when they found it. But it's making a resurgence because of the mask.
Yep. And I really feel bad for teenagers, too. Because teenagers, I mean, if you remember, most teenagers, when I was a teenager, I had acne up like crazy, you know, with hormonal acne. But then you add a mask to that. And these poor teenagers are just breaking out all over their face from wearing these masks even more than they normally would. It's like, you know, you have barely one zit on your forehead, but you'll have like 20 of them on your chin and around your face from that stupid mask.
It's crazy. It's all going crazy at once. And that's what's weird about it. It almost makes you, it's almost like they planned exactly the way it's happening. It doesn't seem like anything's a coincidence. It all just seems like it was a plan written down to bring everything down so hard that the only people who would have anything would be the government.
Well, in a sense, that
yep, the classic problem reaction solution.
So Dan, so how long are you on tour in the Pacific Northwest?
I'll be out here for until the third week of July, and then I go to Phoenix. Hopefully the heat will have broken by then. And then I go back up to Colorado Springs, and then I have to feed at home. I'll be home for 24 hours, then I go to Florida.
So you're not rolling through Las Vegas then, I take it.
I'm going to contact the guy at the Stratosphere and see if he's got a spot that I might get. So I may still schedule a little drop through in Vegas.
All right. If you roll through, you got to let me know.
Oh, most definitely, I will let you know. It's a fun little stop, and the Stratosphere is a good room. It's just I got to figure out how everything goes just yet, because on the highway, it's like I said, I was supposed to have done Harvey's in Portland, and it's closed down. So you never know from day to day which direction you're going to go. You have to go with the flow. You have to think things out and just go. And it makes a big difference sometimes, you know, when you get home and where you're going. But it's fun. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on comedy-wise in St. George, Utah. I know they have a club up there, but I don't know the first thing about it.
Well, that's the thing I'm using a lot with the Internet. I'm trying to make a lot of cold contacts. But like any salesman, you basically fire 100 arrows and two of them might get returned. So you just got to keep digging. And you can't take,
yeah, I remember
don't take
back
it personally.
In the old days, when we started out with stand-up comedy, I had to go to the library.
Yeah. I had to buy an industry book. It was $76, and it had every booker's name in the United States.
I have mine from 1996, actually. And if you still have the one from 96, I'm in there.
I'll have to check it out if I can find it. That would be funny.
Yeah, I just came across it when I cleaned up the room I'm in right now a few months ago.
There's that synchronicity thing. How weird things come together out of nowhere. You'll be talking to somebody about something, and out of nowhere you find out they just found something that you were talking about. It's the interconnectivity. I don't know if you've listened to this one scientist. I can't think of his name. I'm terrible with names. That's what's horrible about me. I can't remember shit for names. But he was talking about, because we're all made of moving molecules, we're all interconnected, so we all feel each other. And that when things happen, it will transcend and affect somebody over here. So when you come to it and you think it's a coincidence, it's not a coincidence. It's something that your mind put out there, and then it got happened. Then it was kind of made to happen. The whole power of positive thought, so to speak.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember quite a while back reading about how there was a group of people that they were studying the effect of meditation. And this group of people went to multiple cities across the U.S., you know, hundreds of people gather in one place to meditate and, you know, to meditate for peace and put positive vibes out there. And in every city that they went to and did this, while they were doing this, their crime rate went down between like 20 and 25% than normal every time they were in these cities. And So I always found that to be a pretty interesting thing, like, you know, the power of each other being connected, meditating and putting that energy out there, positive energy, affecting people without even knowing it, you know, outside of that situation. So there is a lot to be said about that. You know, the energy you put out there, you know, is definitely affects other people.
Well, see, and energy can be a lot of different things, too, because you're right about that. I saw what you were talking about in an article, but here's another thing. If the news is spreading negative 24/7, then they are putting people in a pretty negative mindset. So if you can get the news to be positive and focus on positive things instead of focusing on negative things, instead of saying the number of people who died of COVID, the number of people who recovered from COVID, you can change the whole narrative and mindset. And who's to say if a few people doing that in a study can be proven, what would happen if the whole populace, instead of being downtrodden, without hope and wondering when it's going to end, if everybody was up and positive, how different it might be.
Well, you're correct on that, because COVID, even if you get, and this is only the people that get COVID, have a 99.97% cure rate, but nobody focuses on that. They focus on the dead, on the 0.03% that even get it.
And they don't talk about 80% of the people spontaneously recover from it without ever even seeing a doctor.
Or even knowing they had it.
Exactly. It's so deadly, you got to be tested to know you have it. I'm pretty sure that's not how that works.
And the number one cause of getting COVID is you don't show up for your COVID appointment. That's the number one way in America how people find out they got COVID, is that they had a 9 o'clock doctor appointment. They waited until 10 and then they left. And then the rule is if they left without getting their test, then they're automatically positive.
It's insanity.
Yeah, don't get me started on the inaccuracy
stuff.
Of the numbers that have been said to us for over a year.
So as long as Americans put up with it, they'll continue to do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you see, the breakdown's really happening where they don't like it to happen. That's why they want the people from the country in the cities. That's why Bill Gates is buying up every ounce of farmland that he can put his hands on. They want to make it so there is no place for people to live in the country. Once you make it that way, the only place you can live is in the city, and you're much easier to control when you live in a city than when you live out in the country.
Right. So they're going to try and force people out of their homes, or they're going to make ghettos for people that don't want to comply.
Well, it's Demolition Man.
Yeah.
This is all Demolition Man. And Dennis Leary and his people didn't take the vaccine, and they live underground, and all the other people who took the vaccine get to have the privileges, but nobody can touch each other, and you got a high five without touching, and you can't say anything mean because words are bad. It's the movie was so spot on, right down to them not even be able to touch to have sex. And it's where we're heading if we let it go this way.
Right.
Yeah, it's amazing how, you know, Hollywood can mirror, you know, or even predict things. And, you know, and the Hollywood and government have ties since, you know, forever. And so Hollywood works with government to make their movies more realistic and, you know, that kind of thing. And then they can take that and, you know, a lot of fiction is based on reality. Just like I was talking before about how I was watching the TV show 24 again from the start recently, and I'm all of a sudden watching it again. And it's amazing how things, you know, and that show was 20 years ago, but it's, you know, very predictive of what we're seeing now. It's amazing. And you're right, Demolition Man, you know, I'm gonna actually, it's been a long time since I've watched that. I should throw that on. Yeah, it's definitely like that. Definitely like that. And it's all coercion, you know. If you want to have a job, you got to get the shot. If you want to go to the grocery store without wearing a mask, you got to get the shot. If you want to travel outside of the country, you got to have the shot. You know, everything, you know, if you want to go see a concert, got to have a shot. If you want to go to school, got to have a shot. I mean, it's the coercion, it's restricting people of living their lives and being able to, you know, have a job and just be normal. They don't want normal back again. This new normal is what they want. They don't want a return to what life was like before COVID.
Well, no.
They don't ever want that to happen.
They want a world full of slaves.
Exactly. Easy, docile, slave population. Your job is to work and pay taxes and pay the government
and shut up.
Not bitch about anything that they do with the money.
Yep, obey. Obey. What do they call it? Comply now. That sounds much better.
Yes.
Yes, they got to fluff it up a little bit. Be compliant for the sake of others.
If only our founding fathers had complied. It's sad. It's sad because so many people see it now. It's really, there's a lot of people starting to come to the light of it, but there's also that large, like, 30 to 40% of the population that is bought into this hook, line, and sinker.
Yep. And if you try to talk truth to them, they just are completely shut down to it.
Oh, yeah.
You're evil just for trying to spread your truth. And
you're not an expert. You're not an expert.
Truth is hate.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, truth is hate speech. So if you tell somebody something they don't want to hear, then that's considered the same thing as you hate them.
Yep. It's everything to the extreme. Criticizing is hating on somebody. We used to be able to critique people and help them get better. But if you can't tell anybody anything's wrong, then you will never get better.
Well, once you're already a raging liberal, there is no getting better. That's the best you can be is just be the most compliant person in the land. You constantly win your Simon Says game.
Oh, yeah, and if somebody's trying to walk into your store without a mask, then it's perfectly okay for the employees to take a baseball bat out, like what happened at that Ace Hardware store, and, you know, threaten you with a baseball bat, punch you, whatever, and they're perfectly justified in doing so, you know, and because you were wrong for daring to try to enter the store without a mask on. It's insane.
Well,
did you guys hear about that? The employee comes after the guy with a freaking baseball bat.
Oh.
And then another employee and him getting a big brawl and stuff. I mean, it's complete insanity. And do you think that guy's going to get fired? No. Do you think that guy's going to get charged with assault? No.
I wonder what the corporate office says about that.
I have to look that up to see if there's any follow-up on that. If corporate condones it, I wouldn't be surprised if they do. That's just the way of things.
And where was this located? Do you remember?
Let's look that story up again. Ace Hardware. Baseball bat.
It sounds like you're conjuring up something.
It was Seattle. Seattle is Ace Hardware in Seattle.
Well, they'll probably give him a promotion because he was a hero and saved everybody in there from dying of the Rona.
Well, and don't forget, they have diversity training in Seattle, too. So they teach critical race theory in corporate America there.
See, this is where the division's coming. There's a big division building, and one side believes this is totally what happened in the Civil War. One side believes something that is so ridiculous to the other side, but the other side can't see why it's ridiculous, and here we are again.
Dave, I just sent you a link about the Ace Hardware brawl over the mask. This for your pleasure to read later.
Well, once they get to, a lot of states have made it so the governors won't have as much emergency powers. I think there's going to be a backlash from the people with the masks who are forced to wear them, especially after Fauci's emails showed up because of the Freedom of Information Act, where he basically said everything was a lie. So hopefully that'll get some people to take a real good look and go, hey, this guy was saying this in public and this in private, and we're supposed to be okay with that.
Yeah, but the average person, they don't know the first thing about this. It's funny. You can be in almost any state. I don't care if it's Texas. You'll still see people wearing masks, and they'll say, well, I didn't know I didn't have to wear one.
Yep. It took a while to start.
And then there's a group of people that never want to take them off. There's groups of people that are like, I want to wear my mask.
I want there's a lot of monks
to know
out there.
That I'm a Democrat.
Well, there's a lot of monks out there, too. A lot of them people, hypochondriacs, you know, Howie Mandel, monk, it's become a reality where we've got people covering their hands just to touch a doorknob.
Yeah, I mean, all this has created is a society of germaphobes. And, you know, be afraid of germs instead of, guess what? You know, that's how we build our immune system. Guess what? We have bacteria in our bodies that help us with digestion and all kinds of things. And at one point, that bacteria was a foreign thing. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, hey, early in human history, we came across this bacteria for the first time. Our immune system fought it. That bacteria and our bodies found a symbiotic relationship. And now we have a gut flora of, you know, how many different kinds of bacteria is in our gut flora, in our mouths, even in our eyes. You know, that bacteria helps us. You know, that bacteria helps thwart actual, you know, harmful bacteria. When your body is filled with good bacteria, you know, then it will fight off invaders. But people don't understand that. And that's why, like, you know, with antibiotics, if you have to take antibiotics, go get yourself some real live probiotics, the stuff that's in the refrigerator. You know, dry stuff is dead. It's not going to do you any good. You got to get the stuff that needs to be refrigerated because it's live bacteria. And you need to take your probiotics, too, because you have to replace that good bacteria after you've killed it, you know, with antibiotics. And that's the one thing that makes us sick, is the fact that doctors no longer do that. Once upon a time, 30 years ago, doctors would prescribe probiotics along with the antibiotics to take, and they discontinued doing that. People don't know that they need to be taking the probiotics, and then they wonder why they're having so many digestive problems and other issues, all because, you know, you've just killed off all your good bacteria, and now you're getting sick because bad bacteria are invading your body and the good bacteria isn't there to help anymore. People don't get that.
Well, like I said, it was stuff we were taught in high school.
Yeah.
They don't teach it anymore. They don't want you to think of natural cures. It's funny that we've made it how many thousands of years on this planet before there was antibiotics and before there was vaccines, and just people lived through it.
Yeah, but now frankincense and myrrh is considered alternative medicine.
Exactly. Well, the Israelis have figured out that marijuana is good for head injuries because now over there, if a troop gets a concussion, they give them a joint to smoke to help with the swelling in the brain.
Yep. That, and, you know, now we're seeing more and more studies on the positive effects of CBD oil. You know, all this science that's been there, you know, the science has been around for decades, but it's been suppressed and replaced with disinformation. Disinformation presented as truth. Exactly.
Well, also, it takes money away. That's why they have to fill in with disinformation as truth, because there's no money in you being healthy without them.
Exactly. They'll never cure cancer because cancer is too much of a moneymaker.
Exactly.
They'll find all kinds of so-called treatments, but they'll never cure it, you know, because they don't want to. There's too much money in it.
All that stuff will be cured after there's a population drop when the Georgia Guidestones come into effect. The 1% will have access to all that while the 99% doesn't.
Yep. And then you'll have to count on your own immune system. And thank God I've never had a flu shot or any of that shit. I've let my body take care of itself. It's like George Carlin.
I had
Carlin,
one flu shot. Never will take it again. I was never more sick all winter long that one time I took a flu shot, and I vowed never to do it again.
Well, I like that George Carlin bit about your immune system. That is one of the best, most thought-out comedy bits I've seen in forever. And if you haven't seen it, just look up George Carlin and immune system. And it is funny as all get out. He was always classic, and what he says and the way he says it is just everybody should see that and go, oh, that's what that is.
I so miss George Carlin. God, he was great. He was so great.
He had some good messages.
It's funny. I'll tell you a story. I grew up in Minnesota, and the Mall of America used to have a comedy club called Knuckleheads Comedy Club.
I remember it.
And I used to go there quite a bit. Yeah, you remember it? Yeah, it was a great comedy club. I frequented it pretty often because at the time I lived, you know, pretty close to the Mall of America. And one year, and I forget his name now, but he was the writer and also I think uncle of George Carlin was the mainliner that night. And he came in and, you know, he's like this, you know, long-haired biker-looking dude, you know, and that night, there were two tables of senior citizens. So apparently they were having this, you know, senior citizen fun night, right? And they decided to go to Knuckleheads that night. And, you know, and that comedian, George Carlin, he's all talking, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, basically. And they did, these seniors got up and walked out like within half of the performance because he started giving them a hard time. They were laughing and they were getting all uppity about it, you know, and leaving, and he starts giving these seniors a hard time about it, and he's like, hey, you know, what did you go to a comedy club for? You're going to get all offended and upset. And it was just, it was so comical that night. And they were sitting right in the front row, and so, like, me and my friends that I was with, you know, we were kind of more towards the back, and then we moved seats and moved right up front. And it was like, hey, now we have back seats. Cool. It was hilarious. But, yeah, I thought, you know, there was definitely some good talent that went through there. What is it? Saturday Night Live. Rick Hall that used to do the Sniglets. On Saturday Night Live, yeah, I saw him one time, and then after the show, actually,
is that Rick Hall or Stephanie Michael Hall?
Rick Hall.
All right.
Or Rich Hall.
Yeah.
And
all right.
And he was at the bar, and he was wondering a good place to go, because of course, you know, the comedy club closes early and stuff, and so. He and I and his entourage, we headed to Whiskey Junction in downtown Minneapolis, and he had a great old time. And, it was a fun night. But, yeah, I miss George Carlin. I miss that humor, though. That sort of got me on the story about his writer and uncle, that mainline that night. I'll never forget that. It was just hilarious. Senior citizens getting all offended by the sex, drugs, and rock and roll theme of the guy's comedy.
Well, it's been a great time in comedy in the past, like from like 90, well, actually about 92 through 2005, 6, it was strong. And there was work every night of the week, and then all of a sudden it was almost like somebody started turning the spigot off, and things just started disappearing.
Yeah, I was going to say 2008, I thought, was pretty much the end of it, but, and I think liberalism killed comedy because as long as there's cancel culture, there's people that are giving up, and they're not going to be out there, and it's hard to develop new talent when they know that if they say one wrong thing, they're canceled for life.
Yeah, that, and also the pay. The pay hasn't gone up in 20 years. It hasn't. There's still these pub owners slinging, you know, your headliner gets 200, you know, for your off-night headliners, and while that was a lot of money back then, it ain't shit now, especially when you're, you know, $5,000 into a car to have anything that's decent. Hotel rooms are $100 a night and gas is $3 a gallon. It's real hard to make money with the money they're paying. And so
they don't have the comedy condos anymore?
Well, they do at some of the gigs, but some of the gigs are getting so cheap as to not even get hotel rooms or comedy condos, and they just say, here it is, you know, here's your $150, do what you're going to do. You know,
here's
$150,
you're up, but the room to stay at overnight's $119.
Yeah, and so one of those things, it's killing off the good comedy, and that was done by these undercutters. Like anything, there's going to be competition, and this is the swing. So you have these undercutters come in. They put in these really miserable shows. They charge people $10. Everybody on the show is basically an open micer. They go in. They see this absolutely atrocious show, and then they just quit going because they're like, why do I want to risk $10-$15 to go see some garbage? When in the past, most of the shows were a quality show, but it's just not that way anymore.
I believe that, but unfortunately, we have to get out of here. So, thank you, Lorianne, for joining us tonight. Thank you, Dan Ellison, for jumping in and have some safe travels. I'll be back tomorrow, everyone. So please support the other shows on the network. Until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail. Keep the lock. And we're always keeping that next one fire. I am the executive, and I am...